Automatically. I didn't know if we recorded it automatically. I used to have to push the number.
It heard you.
A lot of technology.
There must be a firmware update that you did.
Yeah, maybe. And they're also charging you more, I think. Yeah, you're paying like $15 a month. Yeah, it was, I think, $5. I don't know. Okay, we talk about this is part of what you're going to talk about with you. Hand me that piece of paper again.
Are we official?
Yeah, we're official now that you're back.
Okay.
Don't tell anybody where you were.
All right.
Because it's being recorded.
I understand.
Okay. Have an agenda. I sent the agenda around. Any additions or subtractions or changes, modifications to the agenda? If not, I need
I'll make a motion to accept the agenda as published.
John Ohanessian moves to accept the agenda as
published. I'll
second it. Greg seconds. Clyde. Further comments? Since there's nobody here yet, there's somebody out front?
Nope. I can simply open the door. Mm-hmm. Came in.
So. Okay, well.
They know where we are.
Public comments.
All right, my comments.
Kids Day.
Kids Day. Is Lily coming?
No,
Lily's out of town.
You're going to California with her dad.
Yeah, okay. All right, so as last month we had a question about whether or not the executive session needed to have minutes. The people that raised that question actually discovered that we're not required by the open meeting laws to do things like that. However, I consulted with a lawyer that was a lawyer for my church as well at our church's public meeting. He said, if you have a meeting of a nonprofit where you do anything, you need to have minutes. But since we don't ever do anything in the executive session except discuss issues that we later then take action on in these open meetings, then it's not necessary for us to have an agenda and minutes. Those minutes wouldn't be published anyway, so we're fine. But along those lines, at the beginning of the executive session that we had after the annual meeting, Roger came to us and said that he had wanted to buy a Zoll, is that it, Roger? A Zoll machine?
A secondary
Zoll machine to back up the one we had, and there would be additional. It was the money to do that is in his budget. He was just letting us know that he wanted to do that, and the consensus of the board was that it was a good purchase to make. And I think ultimately, have you made the purchase yet?
No, it's being researched. The figure that I gave to you, the person in charge of it, the person who's doing the research, started to find some other deals, and so at this point it's still
better
pricing,
okay.
And so it's still researching.
Okay, but it's still part of your budget. You have, in fact, actually you have two different places in the budget that can probably come from.
Okay.
You have equipment. $7,000 purchase.
Okay.
And then you have medical equipment for $6,000 that you can purchase.
Got it.
Okay. And so if you're going to, you know, ultimately get over that, then the budget would be, we'd come back and we'd adjust the budget.
Okay, thanks.
You're for that kind of thing. So, for those of you, everybody showed up all at once while they're talking to the kids, we passed the public comments part, but if you have something to say,
Nobody invited us.
I got
to blame myself. I just opened the door and went to the bathroom.
Well,
Okay. There's usually a stampede.
That's more information than we
need. That's right. I didn't give any detail.
Okay.
So, Bill, did you say you'd address the public comment?
I did, but you're here and you weren't here. You're here now, so if you have anything you want to say, say it.
Okay. Something's been brought up to me a few times, and I felt that this needs to be clarified. I've heard this perception from a number of people, and I need to make it very clear that when I'm here asking questions or commenting on issues, I speak solely for myself. I do not speak for the WCAA. Just like if I was at a function, I would not be speaking for the WFPA that I'm a member of. So my comments are solely mine. I've been to board meetings here. Here's my file. Petco, this only goes back to 2011. I regret to say. And it was interesting reading them. Tim McFarland was president. They talked about a five-year plan and the three-year plan. They talked about standard operating procedures. Suddenly I'm wondering, where are such things like that? I'm a full-time resident here, and anything I say, I address with because of my concerns for this community and what happens here. So please, if you have any slightest, what's the word that I want? Let me just say, I speak for myself and no one else. Thank you.
Okay, Victoria, thank you. Anybody else? Okay.
Oh,
sure.
Oh, you want to do it later?
Well, the announcements come later, but you can do it now. I don't care.
You want to do it now?
Whatever you want to do.
We have a Sunday, Saturday, on August 4th, from 1 to 3. That's our next event here. And we would like to welcome Karen to come in. Join us and sell some WFBA apparel. That'd be fine, and we'd like that. And that's it.
Okay. All right. Thanks, bud.
Okay.
Anybody else? Okay. I was in the midst of giving my report, which is not very much. We were talking about the Zoll and approval for John to buy a secondary, Roger, to buy a secondary Zoll, which is in the process of making arrangements to do. And the open meeting requirement, that issue was raised. We're not bound by the open meeting law. We don't conduct any business in the executive session. Any business we conduct is done here in the open meeting. Secretary's report.
I don't have anything other than old business, which we'll address further.
Okay, but you had did you have minutes out, right?
Yeah, so minutes sent out.
Okay.
To everyone, post on the website.
Right.
Right after the meeting.
We needed somebody to.
I'd make a motion to accept the minutes as posted.
And to dispense with the.
Dispense of the reading.
Second.
Dan seconds. Any discussion about the minutes? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
You need to come in?
Nope.
Sorry. Okay. No, you're just, well, I know that you're working, you're going to work on this. So.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay. You can work on it. We won't care.
I know.
Okay.
Right. Treasurer's report.
Okay, well, we're sitting pretty good. We get a total income of about $23,341. That includes Walker Day, and Walker Day total was, well, about, $15,000 roughly, and that was...
That would be all contributions.
And that was awesome, but that was awesome all alone, really, because it was a...
rained out day.
Yeah, that rained out day.
Right.
They did really well. Okay, so then basically that leaves us, the federal checking and savings right now. Was 222,000 plus our other current assets, 221,000, almost 222,000. Current assets included is 226,000, and then that leaves us for a grand total of assets of
334,760. Okay. Okay. I think the important number is the. You know, the liquid assets, all the rest of that asset, you know.
There's like $15,000 of contributions, almost $16,000 of contributions to that
next one. Yeah,
great.
Okay. A lot, well, at the end of the year, that's the impact of the newsletter and carries over, you know. Some of the deposits aren't made, you know, before the end of May. They come in June, so that's how that happens. It always, it's kind of a distortion, really, in terms of the.
We had the new roof put on.
Okay.
And I wrote checks in the amount of about $10,800.
So you okay? So that's all handled.
Everything's paid for, done. New roof, the new skylights, the high end ones are in there. They'll last another 20 years.
Okay. Well, at least you would have found out, right?
I was here the day after.
Yeah.
Day joining.
That's amazing. Okay.
done. Okay, so should I make a motion to accept
the budget? Not yet. Because I am going to talk to you about the budget for a little bit.
Okay.
Okay, so the budget that we approved did not have the $10,800 in it for the roof. I don't see it in here anyway. I may be wrong. But and the budget was a negative $10,000 budget already. But there are things in here that are, you know, can be adjusted. The income, it's not cast in stone. It's just kind of rule of thumb type of expenses. Roger's never hit any of his expense budget numbers, you know, over the years. And there's no money in here for the chipper day, you know, that we had for the last couple of years. We've included in that. And I think this year, he's not here now. Lauren's not here. Oh, Lauren, oh, there, Lauren. That's all right.
He's very subtle. He's very subtle.
Okay. So I think, you know, I think that the sense of the board is that we will have funds for the chipper day if needed. So, but that's not included necessarily in the budget. I think last year we had, what, $5,000 or $10,000? I forget what it was.
$10,000.
Yeah. Okay. And we didn't spend it all, but I mean, it just for some reason didn't end up in the budget. And then the ZOLL, even though it's the numbers are included in your expense budget, it's not necessarily specifically provided for in this budget. The budget is just a general rule of thumb, and your expenses aren't said, okay, this is what you can spend for these particular things. And then the roof. So I think there are some adjustments we can make to the budget when we get to the point where we're starting to get outside the numbers that have already been provided. But I think it's something we need to be aware of.
We're also in the budget where we don't look at income. And we've had more income lately from, like, rental of equipment, right? Like the last year or two than we ever have?
Shorter answer, yes. Longer answer is there's some sort of delay in payment. So we've got bills outstanding, for lack of a better term.
Mm-hmm.
Four fires, Mark took some equipment out that made a lot of money sitting there.
Right.
But we've not gotten checks back yet.
Gotcha. But, I mean, that's something we don't include in our budget or income statement is potential income from use of equipment or whatever category would be.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Right. So, I mean, this is all part of it. We've got some stuff we didn't account for, other things that will probably come in and could certainly balance that out.
And that includes expenses as well for firefighters.
I agree. Yeah.
Okay. So, but in general, our operating budget is pretty stable in terms of the kind of expenses that we incur because you've been maintaining these vehicles with Central Yavapai or whatever they're called now.
Right.
So,
we have Bud Luck watching over them now.
Right. Okay. All right. With all that,
I'd like to make
a discussion now to make
a motion to accept the treasurer's report. Beautifully stated by Dan Dougherty.
Okay.
I'm second it.
I'm learning all the numbers.
Okay. 5 seconds.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Fire chief report.
So, three calls in June, one medical, one toned out as a structure fire, but really was managed as a wildfire, and then we had a public assist. Training consisted of drafting with Patrol 80, and then on Walker Day we did an AAR for the treehouse fire. Fleet, tires are due to be replaced on engine 86, so that'll be a bit of an expense. We've been having some trouble getting our trucks into CAFMA. They had someone, Charlie, for anyone who knows who that is, was injured, and you know, so they were down a man. Appears to be resolved. We're able to get a tender in this week. So hopefully we are now back up and running. We were like three quarters of the way through the cycle, you know, for annual maintenance. I think that's right. Facilities. So we had someone had a boo-boo with a trailer out by the mailbox. So that needs to be addressed. We have the person's contact information. We don't have their insurance information. The guy tried to pay us cash on the spot, and the firefighters who were working that day very smartly didn't take the cash. So I think, you know, I don't know, you know, I hate to say this, but are you still also the facilities guy? Or did you give that up?
I don't mind helping, and I can help with maybe calling out people, talking, working with Dan Planning and getting him paid and the contractors. But Bud seems to have been taking over a lot of the facility anyway.
Okay. So that's something that we're going to need.
And I'm good with that, but it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's something that we're going to need to address in terms of fixing it. The wall itself, arguably, if you think about it, kind of a safety hazard, the way it just sticks out by itself. You know, I don't know if it's not there, then that same guy would hit a parked car with his trailer. So it's, you know, it's not a great situation. I'm not sure, you know, what makes it better, but that's obviously a risk factor. No matter what we do, and we probably do need to rebuild.
Is the mailbox down?
It stopped right at the mailbox. Like, the mailbox is just set in iron and not going anywhere.
Right. I looked at that mailbox.
Well, that's why it didn't go anywhere.
It stopped.
That's not why I stopped
at the station. It could have just kept going.
But if you need some help with that.
My plan is to go ahead and form it up and bag cement it and stick it back together like it was. Do a little stucco and paint. And
asking
for some locals to do that. I don't think it's a big job.
Ask the guy that did the damage if he wants to come help patch it up. There's your payback, you know?
Oh, he'll pay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So let me just say real quickly, I mean, from an insurance perspective, normally we would get an estimate, and then the person would have an opportunity to pay it out of their own pocket or have their insurance company get involved. Sounds to me like this guy doesn't want his insurance company involved in whatever happened. So I would say it would be great just to contact the guy and say, it's probably going to be $100 in supplies and a couple, get some men down here to help out or some folks. And so who has the contact? Who would be point on this?
What?
You know who did it? You've got the info. Okay. All right. I mean, I just want to kind of make this official. Are you comfortable just saying, I think this is how much materials would cost? I'm going to get some hands down here, and we'll just fix it.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Yeah. Closure is a great thing. Yeah.
So station manning is winding down. Today is sort of the last day. We'll have guys working if they want to over Labor Day weekend as well. But this is it for fire season. Gave out most of the gift cards and the group was thrilled. So thanks to everyone for that. That was pretty awesome. Let's see. Fire season. Despite the two fires, the season wasn't bad. The snow in the middle of May and then the rain on Walker Day led to fuel moistures and energy release components, which are statistics that the Forest Service maintains. And, you know, they send out a weekly thing updating on. Those readings for up here, you know, never actually got bad. You know, maybe other places in Flagstaff seem to be ground zero for just all sorts of fire activity. Outside of the town, it's all very high, scrubby desert, and that's where they had a lot of fires. And just similar to last year, and I think I said this last month, the bigger diameter trees, it just wasn't a bad season, and that was borne out by how limited the fire activity was. The restrictions ended yesterday. I think everyone knows that. We put out communication in a couple of different places on that, which leads to the signs. We had 100 signs. 96 of them went out. This week, I went out and collected 40 of them.
Wow.
Guys today are 36 of them. Guys today are going to go out up the other streets where I'm pretty sure they are, and then we'll get a count, and then I'll put an email out asking people, you know, if they see signs, to take them down and return them. Or, you know, maybe they didn't take them from here.
Right.
You could, and we were thinking about trying to, you know, I would say of the ones that I took down, probably 3/4 of them are reusable. A couple of them that I put out at the start disappeared, you know, stuff happens, so, but if we got 80 of them back and we can put out 60 of them next year, then that's pretty good, and then find new ones the following year, you know, type of thing. Let's see, and then I've got a couple of items to discuss. One is the upcoming Arizona State Fire School. So this is the 4-day thing. We keep talking about trying to expand it, but they haven't gotten it yet. The 4-day thing down, it's headquartered in Mesa. but it branches out a little bit. This is where a lot of the group has gone for basic firefighter, which is kind of a first step for exterior structure firefighting. It's an awesome class. We've got one new firefighter who wants to take it. The history here is that we usually get scholarships that cover the expense of the school, and it seems to be the case that there'll be scholarships available, but that we've covered the hotel expense for the firefighters to take this class. The one guy who wants to do it lives in Ahwatukee, and so if anything, he would just need one night of firefighter of hotel expense, because it's Saturday and Sunday and there's no rush hour, and so he'd be good that way. So that's something that's in my budget, so I'm just letting you know that's coming. The other thing that comes up occasionally, and it's coming up this year, a couple of guys wanting to, me included, wanting to take a class that's not the basic. There's a couple of classes there that are interesting. And again, scholarships probably available. And while I think the dollar is small, I would like to offer hotel expense to anyone who's coming from up here to go take that class. It's usually discounted. It's usually the Marriott in Mesa, which is where this thing is ground zeroed at. I think, I don't have an exact number, but I think the big number on the hotel bill is like, you know, a one, meaning it's, you know, 100 and something a night. If there's, you know, I don't know if I need to make a motion yet or if I should say that till next month, but that would be more appropriate. But that's something I would like to do. And then the other discussion point is Patrol 81, which is the 1990-ish brush truck that we have. I can't remember the last time it squirted water on a fire as a function of just the manner in which we've enhanced our fleet over the years, starting with Patrol 80 10 years ago, adding Patrol 85 and then Engine 86. So the thought there is one way or another, swapping that out for a utility vehicle that would carry things. This is something we've talked about before, but I think now is the time to, you know, kind of move forward with it. Taking the pump out, it's got most of the equipment it needs on there, but the only thing we would need to add is a medical bag and then some lengths of 2.5-inch hose. The expense might be the 2.5-inch hose. We've got, you know, a medical bag we could throw on there. And the idea, you know, there's a few things. One, it's just a utility vehicle. Depending on the call, it's an easy way to get three people to a scene with a whole bunch of extra equipment. The other thing is, you know, we go up some type like this. Treehouse fire is a perfect example. We went up and around a corner of a road that seemed like it was shaped like this, and being able to get up there with just a little, you know, pickup truck to scout it out, and then, oh yeah, the engine can't get down there. We're going to roll some hose downhill from where the pickup is. Strategically, has utility, you know, has value up here. Should we try to sell the whole thing as a unit? The answer there is maybe, but the pickup truck with the water and the unit on there is very overweight. So who would buy a, you know, a homemade fire truck that's very overweight? I don't know if anyone would. Or do we just take that unit out of there, keep the truck, we sell the cast unit. If we get anything for it, if there's even a market for it, it's a good piece of equipment. If there's any market for it that can, you know, cover the hose that we would need 10 times over. But so I don't know if the board wants input on the manner in which we, I mean, it's an operational thing, and it hasn't squirted water, but in terms of input over attempting to sell it as one whole big unit or taking the cast system out and trying to sell that one unit. Again, I don't know if we can find a buyer. I have no idea. But if the board wants input, I'd love to have it. And I think that's the end of my report.
Okay. The class that you want to go to, the, you know, secondary, not basic class.
The
advanced class. There would be two or three of you wanted to go to do that. Now, You have a training budget, right? Is this outside your budget? Is this going to bust your budget?
Not.
Is it going to bust your budget?
No, it's not. But I mean, where there's hotels involved, you know,
you also have a travel budget.
Yeah.
I think.
I used to. I forget
it's
if it's still there.
There.
I haven't used it.
You haven't used it.
Okay.
And so there, it's all that's in there. So I don't think it takes any adjustment by us. I think you're the operational guy. You make those decisions.
Okay. Where there's hotels involved, I didn't want the optics to be kind of looking
around. Yeah, okay. Especially, I think you've done this. This Mesa class has been quite a bit.
It's just a comment that the training that goes on in those classes is where the first class stuff. So.
Yeah, just because you're an instructor there?
I used to. But many of our folks that want to go and can get there, it's really worthwhile.
Yeah. Well, I want to get your input, too, about the CADs unit. Is there calves on any of the other trucks that you have here?
Compressed air foam, no.
Okay. Advantages, disadvantages to not having that or not having. There are people that like the calves. There are people that don't like the calves. I don't know what the argument is. I have no idea.
The short version. I mean, it is a mixed bag. And I think the reason why is actually maximizing. The utility of it. Used correctly, where regular foam supposedly doubles the water effectively, and just in terms of how quick it takes to dry, calves supposedly, again, fully optimized, can triple it. But again, 300 gallons, although that probably isn't a driver, we haven't used it on an incident, since maybe the Midnight Fire in 2006.
Yeah.
I thought they used mostly for chemical fires, everything. I don't know if they use it. We use it in Phoenix for years. The people just really dislike it. It didn't apply for structural firefighting. I don't know how it does in the wildland communities, so I don't know if it's wet line as opposed to suppression.
Mm.
Does it gum up if we don't use it that often? I mean, is there any issue with that? Or
There can be. I mean, you just kind of blow it clean, and hopefully you've done that effectively.
Right.
With a rig.
Did we build that truck?
That goes back an awfully long time. I believe that we did.
Okay.
I think the unit came from Bob Curry
okay.
a long, long time ago. We had another cast unit that I think came from Bob Curry more recently. I could be wrong about it coming from Bob, but that is well within the realm of the possible.
The reason I ask that is if you were toying with the concept of perhaps selling it, well, we certainly wouldn't want to sell something that is DBW is way over what it should be, and now we're selling a liability, right?
Exactly. I don't know if
we built
disclosed
it,
that's a problem.
Yeah.
But either way, yeah.
So the truck itself is a Chevy? Is it an older Chevy, right? And then what would it look like the 90s version is probably got a lot of aftermarket out of it. Any idea putting a more robust suspension in it?
Yeah. You mean to
modify that truck? Well, I'm just saying make more robust suspension in the truck so it handles better and it's not so overweight.
Okay.
If we're going to do that just to sell it, it doesn't make a lot of sense. It'd be better to split it up.
I'm not saying just to sell it. I'm saying
if we're going to use it.
Well, the other thing is we were discussing going to the state surplus and replacing that truck anyway with something newer and more efficient. And then that would probably be where you could get a utility truck. But if this one is equipped the way you would like to have it,
well, it's got most of the equipment on there. I mean, basically, I think it allows us to, push this back a little bit if we feel that we have, more important priorities in terms of the fleet. And we'll just, it's all an ever-evolving situation.
Okay.
It's a truck that we don't use, and so maybe we're finding a little more convenience out of it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, we're not really spending a whole lot of money to do this.
Right.
Okay. So I guess the question becomes then, the CAS unit is an asset, and for you to be able to sell an asset, you probably have to have approval of the board. Is that the way I read the bylaws? And so the consensus of the board, Steve, I think with you on the board, of this kind of equipment, along with Roger's recommendation, what do you think? Is this something we should consider doing?
Well, again, that doesn't only have the structural part, but I don't know that CAPS, I mean, it used to be a really kind of an important big part of the firefighting apparatus, but over the years, people just, at least in the valley, have not used it. We just don't use it. It's just easier just to use water.
It depends on your agency, I think. Glendale uses
yeah.
it. But the,
yeah,
you know.
Even now they
don't. No, they're okay. All right.
But I would defer Roger on its usefulness up here, and if you haven't used it in 6 or 7 years, then.
More.
Yeah.
12 years. Which is an issue. The ability of water,
right.
If it's an issue, we don't have a lot of water. I mean,
the regular foam is double, this is triple, so you gain marginal.
If it's used, we're starting with a 300-gallon
right.
base.
Personally, I don't want to get involved in the operations
right,
part of this
right,
thing.
Right.
This is a decision. You've come to this decision. We've had a discussion with you. Steve kind of is agreeing with you there. Unless somebody has real strong objections, I think maybe we ought to have a motion to let Roger do what he needs to do with that truck and then go forward. We don't want to be micromanaging here, in my view.
I don't even know that we need a motion, but I'd like to make a motion.
Well, if it's an asset, if it's an asset that we have to sell.
I understand. If he needs to just dispose of this thing, whatever. Sure.
If we sell that unit, does that affect our points rating?
Oh, it is a wildland vehicle. And it means nothing.
Okay.
Yeah, the points are for structure fire.
Very good.
Do I have a motion?
Yep.
John moves.
I second.
And what your motion is to deal with the deal
yeah,
we need to do
right. Right.
Oh,
yeah.
up to and selling, trading and selling the CAS unit, right? Is that what you're saying?
I believe that's what I'm saying.
Is that what you're asking for?
If that's required, then
yes.
Yeah. I mean,
you decide it's the best.
Yeah. Yeah.
You will be buying a Mercedes.
That's right.
For the cheap,
but he's not buying. He's not buying anything. He's selling something.
What's the official name of that unit?
Patrol 81.
Okay. Scott.
Yeah. I mean, we've got quite a bit of foam in house without this.
Does that phone have a shelf life on it or anything like that?
It does. I don't know what it is.
Okay. I just was curious.
So we have a motion to allow Roger to deal with the CAS unit if he wants to, up to trading and selling if he needs to. There's been a second by Scott.
Great.
Any discussion about this anymore? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Well, the fire chief's. Oh, one other thing about the fire chief's report. In your budget, boy, I never should have read this stupid thing because I've made reference to it five times this morning. $1,600 that we spent, you know, plus whatever the fees were for the gift cards for the firefighters in the fire, your budget for firefighter morale is $1,200. I think that is an extra, and the board had agreed to spend that money, and so I don't think that comes from that budget. You still have that $1,200 to do as you like at Firefighter Appreciation Day or whatever that you need to do, because that's another special assessment that we'll make, and we'll add that to the budget, as an after. I don't want to use the word afterthought, but as an item that exigency that came up as a result of those two fires in quick succession and the nature of what you had to do to make that work up there. You go to the potato patch, they probably kick in next time. Okay. Have a motion to accept the fire chief report.
I'll make the motion.
Johnny moves.
I'll second it.
5 seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. What do I do with my stupid agenda? Committee reports. All right. Come to you in a minute here, Scott. Lauren, you want to do FireWise? Tell us some things about what's going on with the Chipper Day.
The county has approved to cover the cost of the grinder and the operator and the motor.
Wow.
So the only cost that we have to come up with is the hauling. Last year was an unusual year, about double what we normally have, it was close to $8,000.
Okay.
WCAA has $3,100 that they can put toward it. If you can make a budget adjustment for the balance,
yeah,
we greatly appreciate it.
Okay.
That's to begin on September the 2nd, which is Labor Day, and we'll be getting an announcement out.
That's Monday.
That's the third.
Saturday is the first.
What was
the date?
It's the day after your
final. September 3rd.
Yeah.
And it's actually in collecting until October something?
Yes. You'll have to have the parking lot cleaned by Friday, October the 12th.
Okay. Gotcha.
And what we'll do is we'll take, I have those, take several of those cans out, because after Labor Day, we won't need all eight of them out there,
right.
I don't think. And we'll move them up to the front so that we have room there to put in the back. So they'll come on Monday. Whether or not they'll come on Monday, we'll have to make arrangements to have them move those cans up front. But we have to have all eight cans for the Labor Day weekend because they will be full.
Right.
Right. So you'll start getting collection.
Right.
It's not going to fill up, Mike.
Right.
As long as they're not.
At the end.
It's amazing. You know, it's Labor Day weekend. People have been bringing stuff. So we don't know. We really don't know.
We really don't.
You know, because it's discounts. All right.
And I think I might bring this up every year, but there was a company that would come pick the chips at one time.
They're not interested anymore.
Okay, gotcha.
They found it was less expensive to just go to the landfill and collect.
Really?
Well, wow. Offered free there.
Even if we took them from here and dumped them at their place for them? Or?
Well, I've already got that arrangement.
Okay.
I have a place where we can dump them.
Okay, gotcha.
It only costs us $50 for the fuel. We're not paying any tonnage.
Okay, gotcha. So it's just the wheelage from here to there. Okay,
sure.
Great.
Okay,
great.
And best pick still?
Best pick is who I would use.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
One other thing. You may have noticed the trees that are browning out. We do have a beetle problem that's been confirmed by the state bug guy. And there's only one thing to do, and that's to cut them down and get them out of the forest. That's the only solution.
So can they cut them down, bring them here, get them chipped up, or is that going to be a mess for us?
They don't.
We don't want
okay.
them here.
Hope
right.
They don't.
So
they
we need to make sure that...
They get out of the forest.
Okay, so what's the recommendation from the Forest Service on how to dispose of that type of problem? You've cut your tree down.
Get them
down.
Out of the forest, that's it. Cut them down and get them out of here. All the slash, the chips, or whatever, get them out of here.
Okay.
But if you bring them down here, it's just going to create a bigger problem for this
area. Right, right.
Is that on the way out, Lauren? Is that on the way out, that beetle?
Well, they're everywhere. The one right here by the bridge, there's a couple trees there, and there's some further out.
There's already been some taken down just on the other side of the bridge on the
yeah.
left.
Yeah, yeah.
About 25 taken down on the Lambert property.
Yeah.
Another 25 or more taken down on the Redmond property. My sister's got some on hers.
That's a drought.
I'm going to put some on his.
The drought helped that, I'm sure.
Thanks, bud. So the idea would be, like in my case, my neighbor has 10 dead trees, beetle kills. Obviously, they're all in a long row. You can see they start from the top and dive to the bottom. He should cut them down, throw them in a trailer, and haul them to the dump?
Yep.
Okay, all right.
Get them out of our forest.
Get them out of here. Don't bring them here and have us chip them up and then spread those beetles everywhere around here. Then we've got a beetle problem down here. Okay, all right.
We're probably going to get some of that anyway.
Right, right.
Just by people.
Right, but we could certainly put it on the website to ask people not
trees
to bring
are infected right now that aren't even showing it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right, I see.
What other trees?
The first patch is already swarmed.
Okay.
Right when you get to about mile marker one and you're heading out, the ones on the right there look so bad. You think that's, I wasn't sure if that was from the prescribed burn. Or
that was from the burn.
Okay. You got your little form, the yellow markers, so on. I don't keep that.
Right here.
All right. Thanks, Lauren. You want to talk about Firefighter Appreciation? It's 6 weeks
sure.
away, you know that.
Sure.
Right?
It's going to be the second. It's a Sunday, second day of September. We're usually it's a 4 to 6 o'clock function. It's on the different websites. Pig roast as always. We'll get the guys to park up the pig, do what they do, and pretty straightforward. This is, I think, our sixth annual, something like that. Again, we're continuing to learn as a fire department. We're 51 years, I think, as a fire department official from 67, and this is only the sixth official Firefighter Appreciation Day, but you know what? That's six better than zero, so we're moving forward with it. So I will put out emails from time to time if we need personnel, things like that, but we're on schedule.
Okay. All right. Scott has been talking to me, we may have mentioned it last month. This is what he calls an action tracker. There are things that we have in the, you know, we have a contract folder in here and other kinds of things like the rental for the repeater up on the mountain, the contract with the communication center, all these kinds of things that we have that, you know, we all seem to know about but don't necessarily know. Like, when did we buy 86 or 87, whatever it was? When did we actually get it? You know, what are we doing with it? What's the maintenance schedule on it? And that kind of stuff. As long as there's somebody to put it in and try to keep something, so when a new board comes in, that there is a list of things that we have that are part of our operating. This is not necessarily, I don't know what it's just a way to follow it in a digital way, and to catch all. So that in one place you can say, okay, in October we have these things come due, the insurance has come due, we have to do the corporation commission, you know, at the 1st of June and that sort of stuff. All those kinds of things that can be tracked in something like this, whether or not the secretary would have ultimately be responsible for it, but you already have a lot that you're doing. But this is something like Scott, you know, something he brings with him from his previous employment, you know, because there were a lot of projects and things he were doing. So do you have any thoughts about this?
I think it's a good idea. Just if you were just to say, hey, should we open action items and stuff that we need to follow up on and close out?
Sure.
Who would administer that bill?
Well, I think that's the question, that's the discussion. As long as we have somebody like Scott that's really able and willing to do that, then it's something that's viable and continues on. It would have to be made simple enough that it could be handed off to somebody who maybe not be necessarily as detail-oriented as Scott is. But there's always somebody like that, generally. And at the same time, you don't want to burden the secretary. But, you know, he's already, you know, doing the minutes and keeping track of other things. And like Dan was kind of coordinating as the board representative to deal with what the maintenance is going to be at the firehouse here. So just somebody that would be responsible for maintaining that kind of record. And I think that's... unless you want to make a board position to do that every year. But this is kind of something that, you know, we're not that big, but we're also not that small.
Well, we discussed, I think, something along these lines for the station upkeep. Like, you know, there was something tracking when the overhead door
got
replacement service, and then the bay heaters, truck bay heaters, and that kind of
thing. And even who did it.
Right.
10 years later, you know, 5 years later, you know, who did that project, you know?
Right.
It looks an awful lot like a spreadsheet. Does this lend itself, Scott?
It's Excel. Yeah, it's an Excel spreadsheet.
Google Drive.
Yeah, I came up with that with a couple of friends back in the day, and it really improved our accountability and our tracking system to avoid any kind of things that were missed because we were missing things. And it was...
nuclear disasters.
Exactly.
But, what I'm really asking is, would it be easier if it just lived on Google Drive as opposed to...
We can do that, too.
Shared folder piece on that stuff and put stuff on it.
Yeah, just, you know, that way no one has to, you know, own the task of updating it, and, you know...
And then we can review it in each meeting.
Okay, so because there'll be a tickler for what has to be done in October, November, and that sort of thing.
Ideally, how would you see that being used? I mean, really, ideally, we just bought 5 new SCBAs. How would that get used?
Well, you could put an action to have the calibration date put in there.
Okay.
Maybe, you know, testing, do a test on it. And if there are any surveillances or anything that are required for that piece of equipment, you can put it on there and say, hey, on this day, you know, who's got that action? Any issues? Do we need to call somebody? Do we have to call MSA? You know, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, it's very useful.
Then with the person that, like, if Roger purchased these things, he would put it on this Google thing you're talking about, and then it would be available on...
Yeah, we are
right.
Google thing. Transparent.
On the Google. Yeah. You put it on the Google.
We'll talk about that, yeah.
On the interweb. The national interweb. Okay.
Do you have any thoughts about... So something like this?
Yeah, my thought is, you know, something that I try to be aware of all the time is succession. And this really is not a thing for today. This is a succession. As the board, you know, the board seems, you know, this makes sense. The board seems to turn over more than fire personnel, but at some point fire personnel turns over as well. And so, you know, the next 6 months, who cares? But I mean, really, as boards turn over and
right.
new people come to all positions, that's, I think, where the value is.
Right, I agree.
Okay. All right, so it's a committee, then committee of Scott for right now, and then you figure out how you're going to do it, work
absolutely.
It out with Roger and Bud and whoever else it has, you know, necessary.
So right now you would put in this one, you would initiate it by saying, roof replaced, blah, 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 by
exactly.
this guy, this was our cost, this is a warranty, any of that information, it's there, it goes online on that Google thing, and then somebody in 5 years could easily...
Yeah, go back to
right.
the cell, yeah, he contacted so-and-so,
right.
and it's very useful.
So this sheet is actually only for you to be able to input the information?
This is just a rough, raw
okay.
example.
Okay,
yeah.
all right, you know what, I get it.
Okay, okay. Bill, the other thing we were thinking about is the forming a second entity. Are you working on that? Okay. Tax season.
I just didn't, no,
yeah.
not tax season. I just didn't get around to it. I wasn't sure the board really was in
right.
enthusiasm for it.
I don't know if we're enthusiastic, but
right.
no, I think we agreed to do it. So.
Okay. Second question, and I guess so we don't go off. What I envision doesn't matter. I want to do it from this one envision. We obviously want to keep the cash, $225,000 here, and I would assume we want to keep the building here. The question then is, does the equipment stay with WFPA and get somehow leased to the new Walker Fire Department, or are we wanting to give the equipment to the new Walker Fire Department? And I can see a pro and con either way. Obviously, if you do get sued, you're going to lose your equipment. On the other hand, you know, if we make it almost a fiction and all they own is a piece of rubber hose, then somebody's going to go, well,
that's hard to believe. Yeah,
yeah okay, I mean, now you've lost everything where you would have just kept your cash in your building and let the traditional fire department with the personnel and the equipment be out there insured, but
right.
if you get the $1 million judgment or whatever, you go, well, I guess you got yourself a few used fire trucks because
right.
we're not going to give you our firehouse and our
right.
our cash reserves. So I didn't know how to write it, and I didn't.
Right.
Well, I think we're at I don't want to use this word, at your mercy. You make a recommendation, give us a couple options.
That's
so
kind
that
of
we
be the biggest option,
right.
how.
And what you think is the best way to do it.
Well, you know, we haven't had a real detailed discussion about this, the value of it, and I understand why you haven't jumped in. We're not even committing to it, and why would you put all that effort into it? I think my thought is in 51 years we've been sued once where our cash position, the obviousness of how much money we have, was made pretty easily. Once in 51 years, I don't know that it's worth going through all that because we do have insurance. We've got millions and millions of dollars in liability insurance and coverage and liability if a firefighter makes a mistake. Even if a firefighter goes out and they got called on a Saturday night, they've been drinking. We've gone through this scenario with our insurance people. They're covered. You know, we may get a bump in our premium at that point, but all this stuff is covered because this stuff has happened. So I don't know that it's worth going through all of this anguish and then creating a separate board to manage this thing. It's still going to be pretty obvious to someone that really wants to dig in that that's your money. You've hidden it there, and you're trying to do it in a legal way, but
it'll stand up if you don't go overboard.
I know what you're
overboard.
Saying. Right, but my thought is I don't think there's virtually any real exposure except for what happened this last time if someone could see it. But they can still see it, but they'll see that it's guarded.
Did we have insurance for this sex discrimination lawsuit?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, we seem to dodge the bullet, but nobody picked up.
Right.
I defense, so I don't know.
I'll just say that
we need more insurance than it said. I don't
right.
know. But it was an uncomfortable situation with this guy threatening to, you know, to sue and take everything.
Right. He was threatening to, well, everything. They were threatening $50,000, and that was a shot in the dark, and that ended up going zero, going nowhere. So
well, I don't know yet. Has he passed the time?
It's, what, 2 years total or something? Or
you know that?
I would think it's passed.
Yeah, they have. He has a limit when he went to the.
I remember 6 months being a a line in the sand.
Right. Yeah, because he went to the EEOC.
Right. So that's my thought. Is
all right. Clyde, do you have any thoughts on this?
I think we should.
Think about it
and come back to it. Revisit it at the next meeting.
Revisit it.
Right. I see both sides. Of
I do
now.
Too.
Yeah.
Right.
I agree.
Okay. Yeah.
We're not ready yet. We'll think about it a little bit, get some input. But in my experience in the corporate world, it was virtually unheard of not to do that. But maybe circumstances are different. I don't really know, but you know, everybody just has to have corporations, the builders, the contractors. You had assets like that. It isn't high end, but you put them somewhere where they couldn't be accessed by some silly hoop, you know. So anyway, that's not ready.
Right. John, as you talked to other volunteer fire departments, maybe ask how they're
set up. My thought is,
well, their district
is concern over if something occurs, regardless of the circumstance, and we don't dodge that bullet, where does that leave us? Yes, the thing was paid for by the insurance company. Is it as simple as they're going to jack up our rates, or are we done as far as being insurable? I don't know the answer. But
I do, but...
Okay.
Yes. The answer is things like this, and when I talked with Jody and Wyatt both, they said this is a non-issue. These things come up more than you'd like to believe, and you're not going to even get nicked on this insurance-wise. But I will call back again and say, what would our exposure be in this scenario? Let's just say this guy really felt like he had a real case, and then there wasn't an equal opportunity problem. We did something wrong, and we knew it, and it was negligible. Would we have lost the $50,000? And or is there a part of our policy that would absolutely cover that? I mean, that would be my primary question is, we've got a couple hundred thousand in assets. What would be covered through our insurance company?
Well, I'm thinking after that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say we lost.
No, I understand.
Okay.
And they're saying is, you know what, a fire department like yours that's been with us for so long, you can have a couple of nicks like this, and we're not gonna dump you.
Right. That would be my only thing.
Right. We've had zero claims since we've been with them.
But we don't have just 225 in cash.
No, I get it. We've got it. Correct.
Because with accounting, you put things on at the historical
cost. Right.
I don't think you can replace this building.
I agree.
The equipment.
Right.
And the other little building for $100,000.
I agree.
So we really are looking maybe at $400,000 or $500,000
total value.
Got walking around in $100 bills on a beer flat opening the window.
Right. right.
Which I've been trying to do.
Crazy.
We need to do a deep dive into that
and
get some more questions answered.
Okay, we'll come up with your questions. I think part of what you were referring to, Bill, is that when we did go to the insurance company with this claim that he made, he wanted a $50,000 cash settlement, the insurance company was not going to step in until the lawsuit had been filed.
Mm-hmm.
So had we made the settlement, it would have been out of our pocket. The insurance wouldn't have been hit. That would have just been us. And if we wouldn't have had the benefit of Bill here to handle the legal part of that, we would have been stuck with the legal bills. Just
getting up to the point where
just
we
getting to the
it
point
off.
Where the lawsuit was.
Right.
Because there was communications, and that's the practice of these guys, is they write communications. The lawyer that receives the communication has to read it. He's spending hours doing, literally, to read it. So,
right.
And the answer from Bill was, we're not talking to you anymore. You know, file your lawsuit.
Right.
You know, fish or cut bait. And because there was no advantage to us to continue the conversation.
Right.
So, and then he broached the subject of whether or not we wanted to protect assets if we needed to, because we did have some liquid assets.
And they may not have even asked for $50,000 if they hadn't seen $190 in assets, in cash.
Yeah.
I get that. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I don't think there's any other committees.
We're already 30 minutes beyond where I wanted to be.
Kids stays out there. Old business. Matt is doing the Wi-Fi. He's in the process today with Clyde, right? You guys are going to try to get that finished today?
We're going to look at the hardware today for the Wi-Fi thing.
Yeah.
Possibly going to switch that today.
Yeah, he's got it all here, and he's ready to do it. He's talking about running I don't know if we can get up in the attic and run it through that wall, but that wall's a brick wall. He would like to put the antenna out in the bay for better reception.
Yeah.
Right, because it's in here. With the antenna, the word is now, it's pretty restrictive. You know, you have all kinds of stuff blocking it. But this is going to be much better. He can restrict the bandwidth that people are using when they're up here on our Wi-Fi, and he can...
give them a better range, too.
Yeah, better range, limit source, get cameras where we can have some things going on. So that's in the process. Okay, roadside event signs. I asked Scott and Conrad to take a look at, you know, we have been putting these wooden signs up on what is basically the right-of-way. It was not really an issue until we wanted to put in the fire wheel, and we were actually talking to the road crew guy. We've been kind of blinking at the fact that we have been doing that over these years, and they probably will continue to wink. I don't know that for sure. I haven't talked to him this week, but I wanted to after we had the communications. Tell us what you found, I guess.
Well, I've reached out to Conrad a couple times, and we discussed different options. And when you sent me that picture of that sign, that real heavy-duty one with the dual springs and all that, and the nice mount, that would probably behoove us to do. I've reached out to Heron. He said he'd give me a hand with it, installing it, and all that kind of thing. So we're covered there. As far as signs, Conrad's still kind of coming up with some ideas. He wants to pull over like a, I don't know, like a bag over a sign or something that fits snug. That's his thought. That way we can get it cheaper to do the bag thing or right over a piece of metal than it is to make a new sign every time, you know, just have our own. So we're still moving forward with that. And I sent him an email this morning. I'm waiting to hear something back from him.
Now, the other option is that they have these breakaway poles that are, you know, is a square pole that has holes in it, and then you can stick a six-foot sign on it, and then... I like Coroplast. These Coroplast signs out here, they're on the, you know, do not park. They've lasted, how long have they been out there? 2 years? And they're not faded. They last, and we only put these things up for a week at a time. And it would depend on whether or not they would let us put that kind of a sign base in, and then we could take it out in the wintertime and put it back in the summer. The spring thing that you're talking about, the cheapest one is $250.
I saw that, yeah.
And the other opposite problem with that is that some contractor comes along and says, oh, man,
that's
why I asked the question. Can you cement this thing in?
That's exactly.
Right.
Well, if you cement it in, then then you're making a permanent thing.
Right.
And so, anyway, you know, we had that call about the red flag thing from the roadside guy. So I don't want to run afoul of the county. They've been very helpful and very friendly to us. So every year we struggle with these wooden signs, putting things up and down. And storing them. And
that's the statement of need right there. These signs are stinking heavy. The Walker Drew sign is probably 40 pounds and lugging it up. And then it blows over, and I mean,
there's no reason not. And, you know, it's a couple $300, and we can have all the signs we needed and easy to put up and put down. So thanks for doing that.
Absolutely. I'll keep you informed.
Okay.
Progress.
Okay, new business. The annual meeting minutes. I sent those around. I think they've been distributed. Did he put them on the website?
He did.
Oh, he did?
No.
No. Okay. So.
You asked
him. Huh?
You asked
him. Okay. So at any rate, there you have them, and you've had, you know, some input about them. But I think I'm finally got everything done. So give me a motion to approve the annual meetings as presented and dispense with the reading of them since I don't have them here. And we'll get them put on the website.
So I'd like to make a motion to accept the annual meeting minutes and dispense of the reading of the minutes.
We'll probably have to do it again at the meeting, but just to get them posted, I think. This is way early. Last several years, we haven't had them until the last week before the annual meeting. So,
right.
I'll second it.
Okay. Any discussion about the minutes for the annual meeting?
All of us, right?
Yeah, right. Several times I sent them.
Right.
I did have to make some changes.
New versions, right?
Right. Well, they weren't new versions. They just had correct information.
Grammar. That was it.
Finger stuff.
Yeah.
Three. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Community announcements. Bud, you already did your WCAA. Firewise, we already did that. Unless you have something else. Okay. Any other community announcements? Okay, public forum. Anything for anybody to say? Victoria.
In case you didn't notice, I missed last month's meeting. I was pleased, though. I got back the week after the meeting, and that Friday I was curious, went out onto the website, and there were the minutes instead of waiting to 2 days before the meeting. Your meeting, so it was great to be able to see what happened, et cetera, and that the, at this point, timely.
The minutes are going to be done with
Right.
Hang on
right now.
Okay.
Right. Before I get home.
Anybody
that's
else?
That's okay. I've got stuff to make
sure
you have some time to play.
Chris?
Okay. Well, I have one comment on the sign that's out there that says fire danger high, medium, and low. That's a great sign. We had one years ago, and it deteriorated. This time is great. The only problem is during the daytime you cannot see
the line. The pointer. I agree.
Yeah. I agree. At night it shines.
Okay. Damn. Okay.
Is there a way to rectify this?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good question. Good.
Bob?
I just have one thing with this, and this is about the fires and stuff. There's too many people in the area giving information out on the fire. You need to have one spokesman whenever we have a fire instead of, you know, different people getting on the potato patch line and everything else, giving their opinion. It's got to come from here saying, you know, this is it, and everybody else stop making, you know, your opinions heard on the website. It confuses the people.
And then Roger,
Hang on. Here's what happens. You come and tell us what your thoughts are, right? Everybody has a chance to tell us what their thoughts are.
Uh-huh.
We don't answer them back, right? Okay. Until everybody's had their thoughts, to have a chance to think about it a little bit, and then we can comment on it, and we'll have a discussion at that time after everybody goes through. So we're not involved in crosstalk, which can then turn into we don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah.
I know Glenn hates it, but that's the way it is. Bud, anything else?
I think probably from a WCA standpoint, we don't think the board and enough for the allowance to use the facilities here for our functions. I'd like to thank you.
Okay. Glenn? Now it's time. Now you say, Facebook sucks. That's what you said, right?
I'm sorry.
No.
That way that I can see that you can please people.
Okay. Address me.
Yeah.
Lauren.
Good.
Okay. All right. The reason for doing this, Bob and Glenn, is that we don't have these conversations back and forth. So what will happen now is I'll address the thoughts, and then, because I'm the president, and then anybody else like Dan who wants to say anything, he can say something, but basically address me with these things, don't address each other, because if you remember the way it was in 2009 and 2010, that wasn't the way it was, and it was just not very decent, not very fun. Okay, Victoria, you come and speak for yourself. I understand that. I don't know where you hear these things from, but I don't think you hear them from us, right? If we do it in private, hopefully they're not speaking in public about that. You're welcome to come here. I want you to come here, speak your piece. That's fine, okay? I don't want people to get in an argument with you. You've had some occasion here where there's another member of the community that you two have had conversations. That's the reason we try to do it in this way, so you don't have that kind of back and forth. Come here, do your thing, do your coat drive, do your whatever it is that you do. Okay, the sign, fire department high problem. Yeah, Vern. Yeah, That arrow is, I think, Terry Piske made that sign for us. It's called the Fire Wheel. There's a variety of, you know, you can get one that's commercially made that the Forest Service use. That arrow is basically invisible.
When it's on the high, because
it's a red arrow on a red thing. So,
right, right.
And he knows about that, and he said he was going to try to get down and paint it. I'm not sure, you know, when that's going to happen, but yeah, we're aware of it.
Right.
And he's aware of it, and it, you know, it is.
It's a great sign.
It's a great sign. It's very nice. Yeah, it's very, very good. It's ours. It's not commercially available. It doesn't look like, you know, it's something that you bought off of. Website someplace. It's a
very heavy,
place.
Too, trust me.
Yeah. Well, it better not move because it's...
No, sir, it's not going anywhere,
We put it in there with a permit. We put it in there with a permit, and he put it in with the, you know, don't dig until you call the 191 or whatever it is.
By the book.
Okay.
About 36 inches.
Bob, I think you raised a sensitive issue about communications. The webpage, our webpage, where our information comes from, is what Roger and we decide goes out. And usually it's not very much. We don't give blow-by-blow descriptions. Yes. Roger has a Facebook page that he uses as best he can when he's out on a fire. Sometimes, you know, he's posting things from the fire. The Potato Patch website, our Facebook thing, as Glenn says, recognizes, we can't control what people say, except that Shelley has done a pretty good job of keeping some of the stuff out of there. But at the same time, I don't know what Facebook works. I don't do Facebook, so I don't have any idea. Every time I try to get in there, I can't see anything. It's just difficult. So it's very difficult to, you know, we do not have any control over communications like on the Facebook or other websites. You know, we just can't do it. And people have to come to understand what those different communication devices are. Anyway, and that's my thoughts in terms of what that is.
And along that line, though, we can discuss that one question, though. I would defer to Roger and say, how would you like people to get information about ongoing fires up to the minute?
Uh-huh.
There you go. And there's one coming in now. This just in. You can't time that anymore.
It's a smartphone.
Yeah. But I mean, how would you think it would be best for people to actually be abreast on what's happening?
You know, that was a spectacular ringtone. So, I mean, it's an ever-evolving thing.
Right.
I just put out an email internally. We had a scenario where someone during the treehouse fire claimed that they were getting information directly from the station during the fire.
Right.
And I have no idea if they were. It's not worth pursuing. I don't care. The issue is, even if somehow, some way, they were getting correct information from us on the phone during an incident, we have no way of knowing what that person then hears and what they're going to go ahead and you know, do. You know, one little word changes a whole sentence. There was an issue with how contained the fire was or wasn't. Well, in Half-Acre Fire, the word containment never came up in the word, came up in the operation of the fire, but the YCSO said the fire was contained to one property.
Ah, I see.
So people, the 1+1=11 brigade came out, and it's contained.
Right.
Stuff like that is always going to happen. Procedurally, you know, I've said this the last two or three, I wish they would yell louder.
We'll tell them, Bob. Tell them to yell louder.
The last two or three, you know, annual meetings, I've asked that, you know, you go to the department Facebook page. When I can, I post stuff, you know, late on the night of the treehouse fire. I was able to, you know, say, you know, it's knocked down. It was very serious, and so that's very vague. But it kind of, you know, knocked down and, you know, says one thing, but it's serious. It's like that also tells a story without saying anything.
Right.
Then what people do with that, it's really beyond our scope. As far as the PIO, well, that would be great, but, you know, hey, you, the guy with 3 years of wildland firefighter experience, why don't you take a seat and watch it burn, and we'll give you information every hour or so. So it's the best we can with the understanding whatever is best today will evolve and be different a year from now.
Right. I guess bottom line is if somebody's knocking at your door telling you to get out of the neighborhood, probably a good idea.
I mean, that's information you know is true.
Yeah. Let's encourage code red.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
But thanks.
Oh, wait, no, Glenn. I'm sorry. Did that answer your question, Glenn, about the Facebook stuff? We agree with you. You can't really, I agree with you. You can't control it.
Still a comment on this?
Sure.
May I? Is it possible that the board, or rather you, send out something to the community that all official information for any problems, et cetera, fire, et cetera, here in Walker will come from our board or from, you know, our website? And can you approach Conrad? Can you approach Potato Patch to say, please, this is how we'd like it handled in these situations?
Okay.
I don't know.
All right, hang on a minute. Let me think about that for a second. Do you have anything else?
No, I was just going to say that, you know, going back to what we discussed about the fire stuff, if people want, you know, accurate, precise updates, go to the information that's being provided by Roger and the team.
Yeah. I agree.
That's why people...
And people will complain and say they're not on Facebook. I'm not on Facebook. So you come up with your own way of getting information. I call Bill.
There you go.
I just call Bill. Bill, what's going on?
I don't know.
And he doesn't know, but at least it gives me comfort. So
Roger knows.
I've got one question or comment. A couple of years ago, I used to get emails from Roger and from the others about what was happening to the board. All of a sudden, I was dropped. Now, every time I pay my dues, I put in my email and say, yes, send me. And it's never happened.
Okay.
Now, I've had about 3 years of nothing.
Okay.
I want to know how to get back on.
All right, Bernard. Hang on a minute. Hang on a minute.
Or I won't send any more contributions until I get back on the...
All right. Rudy?
No comment.
Roger?
To...
Anything.
To Burns?
Anything. Well, the Burns is fine. Burns is
trying to wrap it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's the emails go out occasionally. That's, you know, the scenarios there.
Well, he doesn't get them is what he's saying.
Yeah, I understand. I mean, there's not a lot. The Facebook page is better, but if you're not on it, that's someone else's issue.
Steve? Scott?
Nothing, thank you, sir.
Okay. The emails, you have to sign up on the website. I'll call Chris, and we'll get in touch with you, and we'll add your email. Do I have your email address? We'll find it if we don't. If I have to call you, I have your phone number. All right. Because you have to go online and he doesn't see that. Chris, who monitors, who controls the website, doesn't get that information. The Adam, the accountant, does. But we'll get you at it because you've complained about this a couple times, Vern. I'm sorry. So, all right, Victoria. In terms of, I suppose we can send an announcement out like that, but there are things that are on these websites. I think it's just self-evident that we are the WFPA. The others are not. If they make claims to be, there's nothing we can do about that. I have had a conversation with Conrad and about the confusion that happened before the annual meeting. That was unfortunate. But I don't know whatever the consensus of the board is. I just hate to send messages out like that, telling people, you know, I just hate to send out messages telling people don't be stupid.
Uh-huh.
Right now.
Right.
And it just doesn't do any good, right?
But for what it's worth, the last two or three spring newsletters, my thing has included.
Yeah.
Most up-to-date information, go to facebook.com/WalkerFireDEPT.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. The information's out there.
It's on there.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
Well, that being said,
there's some things you can't fix.
All right.
I don't have a telephone.
Well, hang on. Does anybody else have anything to say? Dan? Rudy? Anything else?
I'm good.
Roger? Steve?
Scott? I'll make a motion to end the meeting.
Rudy? Okay. Scott? Johnny O. Moves. Any discussion about the German? Are you all in favor?
No, I'm all in favor.
Aye. Let me turn this off.